All right, we're going to start the meeting. Supervisor Chris, could you lead us to the flag, please?
Absolutely.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Chaplain.
Father, we're truly grateful to express our gratitude for the rain, for the season of moisture that has filled our lakes, our rivers and streams are running. We're truly grateful. We express our gratitude for that. We also are grateful for opportunity to conduct business as with our government and as citizens in our community. Thank you for all these who turned out today to be here, to be part of the process. We're truly grateful for each of our Board of Supervisors and the work that they do and the decisions they need to make. We ask for wisdom on their part, understanding as they discuss issues. And then for our county staff who follow through and do the work, we are truly grateful for them as well. God, you bless us in a great nation, and it's these freedoms that we have that we need to continue to be participants in all that takes place. May we be blessed as we are faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And real quick before roll call, the board will be convening today as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District County Service Area Number 3 and County Service Area Number 4 and receives no additional compensation. And we'll do a roll call. We've got Supervisor Haupt.
Present.
Supervisor Kopseff.
Here.
Supervisor Chris.
Present.
Supervisor Ogren.
Present.
And Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right. And for presentations from the public, we're going to give you 3 minutes on items not on the agenda. Please direct your comments to the board. No discussion will be made. Anyone for public comment?
I have three here, but they all look like they're Kidder Creek, so I'm assuming they're going to talk during the public hearings.
Okay, very good. Okay. Anyone online?
Showing none online.
Item 5, consent agenda. Supervisor, do you want to pull an item?
Item B.
Item B, anyone else?
Item A.
Item A.
B, A, and
G.
G. Okay, that was the one I was going to comment on. So.
And okay. H.
And H as well. Okay.
Should have went alphabetically, but A, B, something.
A, B, A, B, G, H. Okay.
Start with A.
Do we want to do the first, the consent agenda vote first?
Oh, the rest of let's yeah. Move to approve the
thank
balance
you.
Of the consent agenda.
Second.
Thank you. All righty. In the end, we've got Supervisor Haupt.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseff.
Aye.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes. Now
thank
I
you.
Make this.
Thank you much.
Elizabeth Nielsen, Deputy County Administrator for item A. Happy to take your questions.
Sure. I think just for clarification, I get where you're headed with this, and I appreciate it because I think we should have policy that dictates how we operate, because in the past it's been everywhere.
Yes.
And sometimes not fair at all. So it's a kind of an emotional thing at a time. So I appreciate this. One of the things though that I get that there's kind of some flexibility in there. I'm just going to say, I don't know, I think that 100% of the base is, and are you talking about, when you talk about a share, are you talking about 100% of the base and then the share on everything above the base, or are you talking about the share being part of the base and the growth?
So what this resolution just establishes a simple policy that if a city comes to us and wants to annex property into their city districts, it would be out of county district, that we have a policy that establishes how a tax sharing agreement would be entered into so that the county doesn't lose all of that tax base and future tax increment to its general fund. And as you stated, over the I looked back on previous tax sharing agreements and it was inconsistent. And so this establishes a policy, but in rare circumstances where it might need to a tax sharing agreement would need to deviate from a policy, there's an option for staff to come to the board. What this one establishes is that we ideally will ideally keep 100% of the tax base, but we're willing to go down to 50%. And then ideally keep 50% of the increment, but we're willing to go down to 25%. So that's what the policy establishes.
What's the increment be? The over above the base, is that what you're referring
to? It would be the
to?
Increase improvements on the property.
Okay. And just for, I guess, public education and maybe board education on this, currently the tax is split roughly 68% schools, 22% to the county, 6% to the cities, and the balance to special districts. But that encompasses all of the, it doesn't, you know, I guess what a lot of people may not understand is when the city takes 6% of the tax base, it's county-wide, and then it's proportioned out by city. It's not that the city does not get a share of the county-wide property tax, just like the county gets that 22% of the property tax out of the cities as well. So I'm just clarifying that in case no one realizes what's really going on. But I appreciate this. I'm more for the 100% of the base, okay, and then the tax share on the other side than just doing that. But you still have that flexibility in this policy, correct? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
If there's no other questions, I would move to approve.
Second.
Okay. Supervisor Hupp?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure. Item B, County Administration, we got CSAC at home. Supervisor Ogren?
Dr. Collard has spent a huge amount of time working on homelessness in and around the city of Guayrica and the rest of this county, and I would love for her to explain what programs we have in the works and how it's benefiting our county.
Thank you, Supervisor Ogren. So we, as you said, have been working on several initiatives in the county and are very excited about the at-home initiative through CSAC and appreciate all of the work that's been done with regard to clarified roles, with regard to transparency and accountability. So thank you to those of you who have participated in that effort. So we are working on several fronts. We, as I think you know, are close to completion with regard to Siskiyou Crossroads, which is the Nepesek Home housing complex we have up on Foothill. The completion date was pushed out a little bit. There's a supply chain issue with one piece of equipment, so we're anticipating move-in will be in October. RCHDC has indicated that the construction company may have some back channels to get that piece of equipment, so we're excited about that. We recently issued an RFP for our shelter project and had a respondent, so we'll be working with Northern Valley Catholic Social Services to operate that shelter. We have a long-standing relationship with them. They used to provide mental health services for us. They currently we contract with them for services through Six Stones Wellness Center, so we're very excited about that. We recently submitted a grant for the Behavioral Health Bridge Housing Program, which is sort of goes hand in hand with CareCourt, and are hoping, we're partnering with the city, hoping to have a pallet shelter village on their piece of property, also off of Foothill, where they've been talking for several years about an urban campsite. So we're hopeful that we'll receive that funding, and I'm fairly confident we will. The city of Guayrica is interested in pursuing a home key project, which would be a renovation of a local hotel. So we are partnering with them, and we'll be providing services if they're successful in that effort. And in addition, we have all of our ongoing sheltering programs and a lot of other programs, which I'll go over in a little bit. But I don't know, are there questions or other information that you'd like?
So with all these projects in the works, once everything really gets moving and working, how many homeless folks do you think that would be able to accommodate?
Well, it really depends. So No Place Like Home is a 49-bed facility, 24 of which are for the seriously mentally ill. We're requesting 20 to 25 pallet shelters. Home Key, really, the city, you know, that's their program. I think they're hoping for somewhere in the area of 40 rooms, which is, I don't know, maybe 50 people based on occupancy. You know, we shelter through our hotel sheltering program upwards of hundreds of people a year, so that program typically goes throughout the winter months when the weather is inclement. So I'm hoping for a few hundred. At least with this initial push. We have longer term plans for other projects down the road. And, you know, one of the things I'm very excited about with Home Key is that it really specifies who's responsible for what. And we have a great relationship with the city of Yreka. We're also partnering through PLHA funding with other cities in the community. So I feel like we have a good start in supporting projects that they may take on in the future and helping them, you know, now that we've built a little bit of internal expertise, helping them get their projects off the ground as well.
Do you think that we have enough support and management coming in that we can actually keep these projects moving forward, and we have enough services to help keep these projects running and serving?
So staffing is a challenge. I think, you know, we were awarded ESGCV dollars, which is what we've been using for the last two cycles to house people in the winter. We were one of two counties in the continuum that were able to manage that program successfully, and actually we're the most successful county, and so we were offered additional funds. So that was, those two cycles were during what I think of as our most severe staffing shortages internally. We've been more successful recently, though social workers who, you know, manage the majority of that program, that's a challenging job classification to fill, but I feel like we do a good job with a very limited number of staff at administering the programs we have, and I'm very cognizant of the fact that we don't want to get too big, because I'd rather do a few things well than many things not well, and I feel confident. I mean, our staff are amazing. At every level, they're amazing, and have done a very good job. And we have an amazing consultant in Housing Tools. They've been the reason that we've gotten some of these very complicated projects like Siskiyou Crossroads off the ground.
Well, I know that you've got an amazing staff.
We do.
And you work very hard at what you do.
We all do that, for sure.
And you don't get enough recognition for that. So thank you. I'm glad you were able to come and talk to us today.
Thank you.
So just real quick, you know, this was a CSAC initiative to push forward. It was, you know, a lot of the homelessness issues we see at Ground Zeroes and in your backyard, so to speak, but it's really crisis level across the state, but in the urban areas, significant. And there was a lot of finger pointing between the cities and the counties. One of the things I articulated, and it's true for most rural counties, we don't have the capacity. The cities, think a city of 1,000, you know, there's no one, they're not capable of handling the issue. So the issue is flipped. So it's, you know, we have to work together with our partner cities to accomplish whatever the task and goal is going to be. So thank you for, you know, recognizing that.
Yes.
And I'm great. You know, one of the things I've long articulated, not only just homelessness, but we don't have capacity across the board on a lot of things, and that's one of the issues for rural county. We're always going to be struggling in that front. And so as much as you want to get a number, we'll never get to the number we need to get to, because, you know, I think I just mentioned the Supervisor Cops that we were at a groundbreaking thing for, you know, they would bring jobs in. There's no workforce housing here. We need housing. So it's not homeless housing. It's housing in general for the rural areas that, as I see it, is one of the things that we need to work on in conjunction with.
And we talk about that all the time at our COC meetings and everything else, that it isn't just homeless housing, it's housing for everyone. And we talk about that not only with this, but also with our short-term rentals and everything else. It always comes back to housing. So it's
right.
Yep.
Right. And I think one of the things that we really strive for are opportunities like No Place Like Home that provides housing for, you know, our consumers, but also we can leverage in order to provide other types of housing, right? So 50 of those units are low-income housing, which is workforce housing for a lot of our, at least within our agency, a lot of our employees would be eligible for that type of housing. So we really want to try and optimize those opportunities when they come along.
Anyone else on the board have any comments? So where's Chris?
Yeah, thank you. One thing that comes to mind is just compliment to your staff and to the department. The jail, unfortunately, becomes a revolving door for folks who may suffer from the mental illness, whether it be schizophrenia, bipolar, or whatever. So stabilizing those folks and the crossroads and those sorts of things gives them a chance at life, as well as it frees up jail space for people that really need to be put there to keep the public safe. So it's beneficial all around, public safety as well.
Right, and we've been working, one of our projects is diversion, mental health diversion, so we're moving people out in collaboration with the public defender and the DA and the courts, moving people out of the jail into diversion programs. Housing is a challenge, but that's one thing that we've all agreed is that we're not going to move people out unless we have some place that they can live where we can support them. And that program has been super successful, so we're looking forward to expanding.
And it's fair to the person there, anyways, just going to jail, getting in for a few days, and struggling again to stabilize the individual.
Right.
Thank you.
So, where's the question?
So, while I appreciate that there's a lot of state money and state emotion around homelessness, I still only support it for Siskiyou County residents. We're not to be an area where, yeah, we're going there because they got the program. If we're serving those that are in need from Siskiyou County, I'm there. But I'm not for growing a program that just brings them in from the outside.
Interesting.
Thank you.
Just one additional thing that didn't come up here. I'd like to know, I guess, you know, we talked about capacity a while ago and whether or not we're building enough. What I want to know is, are we going to have a capacity sufficient enough to meet whatever state regulation it is to abandon some of the camps that we have and move folks into these facilities rather than creating another fire hazard on the hill surrounding everything?
That's our goal. You'll see from PIP count outcomes, and actually it's difficult to quantify, right, because last year we were in the middle of COVID, the Omicron outbreak when we did the PIP count, so I think it was probably an undercount, but the population is growing. So our goal is to develop enough capacity for that, but I don't know that that's possible, just given our limitations, so...
Does it really? I know it's a goal. I'm all for goals, but I want to see movement too. I guess what I'd like to know is whether or not there's additional or some reduction in the illegal encumbrances we have to abate the environmental hazards and fire hazards that we have developing around the city.
Not to my knowledge. That might be out of my scope a little bit. It's a good question.
Perhaps someone could bring that back.
Well, I was going to say, this really warrants an agendized item. This was not supposed to be a full-blown discussion. This is more of a rubber stamp, but, you know, showing support for my brethren in the urban counties who are showing support for us in the rural counties, if you will. It does warrant, where are we in the process? It shouldn't be a one-off thing. It should be, where are we making progress? You know, I see it when I get off the freeway, the homeless thing, you know, the pallet thing. And Dr. Clark, you know, I've had this conversation with you before. We can't do all things for all people. We have limited capacity. We just need to do what we can to the best we can. And that's the extent of what we can do. To think we're going to go beyond, think we're going to solve it, no, we're not. And so when we talk about capacity, we have to work within that, those confines. So I do think it needs to come back as an agendized item somewhere on the schedule when you think it's appropriate for here's where we are, here's what we need to do. You know, maybe bring the city of Wairika in. What are we doing? How are we partnering? What roadblocks do we need to clear? Those kind of things.
I'm happy to do that. And I know the city is doing it. The city of Barbie County is doing a lot of work around that issue and have a lot of concerns. So they've done some, I think, foundational work in anticipation of us developing capacity with regard to beds. So, you know, Jason would better be able to speak to that much better than I can.
A lot of what they're doing, but as an observer, not directly involved in it, you know, because of watching it for years, it kind of looks like paralysis to me.
Yes.
Anyone else? I'll make the recommended motion.
Second.
Okay. Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbs?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Thank you.
Next item? It was G.
G. The one for the clerk?
I said after your comment.
Oh, just a comment that there was a typo discovered in the first paragraph. After state legislature, it should be 2022 rather than 2002. So it was just a typo correction.
The question I had on it is, what is the local cost, since the decision seems to be pending on the cost?
That I don't have. Is Laura on the phone, maybe?
I don't see her. Maybe we can either get her or maybe we can table this to get her availability.
To a little bit later in the meeting, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
With
that.
We'll come back with that so you can get your question answered, Supervisor Paul.
Thank you.
And then the last one was H, I believe. Mr. Cobb said,
yes.
Was it H?
Yeah.
Steve Serdahl, Deputy Director of General Services.
Quick question. I know that there's been a transfer of the FBO services. I know not at Siskiyou, but at Weed with regard to Mountain Medics and Eagles Nest Aviation. Is that still in process as well, or is it separate? Because I understood that from the open house, I'll call it the last week, that Mountain Medics was also looking to take over Wairika or Siskiyou Airport as well as for fuel services.
Yes, sir. So the Weed FBO is completely separate and it's done. The transfer is done.
Okay. All right.
Between Valley Aviation and Eagles Nest.
Okay.
That's complete separate and it's a done deal.
Okay.
Now Valley Aviation has worked with the Eagles Nest in wanting to take over the fuel responsibilities out at Siskiyou.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this is.
Okay.
And they have reached an agreement, and we support that.
Great. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
To approve.
Second.
Okay. Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Kobzeff?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Thank you.